from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, October 14th. Coming up, a criminal justice sciences expert says the absence of information in the Jelani Day case has not served the public well. We'll learn more from ISU professor Ralph Weisheit in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois nursing homes with low staffing levels and overcrowding saw higher numbers of COVID deaths earlier in the pandemic, which disproportionately killed the black and brown residents more likely to live in those facilities. As Hannah Meisel reports, Governor J.B. Pritzker wants to force nursing homes to solve those problems before the state sends the industry more money.
Pritzker's administration is asking lawmakers to overhaul the way nursing homes are paid by the state, including making additional funding contingent on facility staffing levels. But after months of negotiations, the industry's biggest players still aren't on board. A nursing home trade group leader on Wednesday told lawmakers he was disappointed he hadn't gotten feedback on his latest counterproposal, much to the chagrin of State Representative Kathy Willis.
How dare you be upset that you didn't hear anything because you gave a report 3 weeks ago? We've been talking about this for 6 months. I didn't hear anything from you other than saying, please don't stop our money flow.
The nursing home industry is warning that facilities are already under immense financial pressure that may trigger a wave of closures across the state. I'm Hannah Meisel.
The mother of Jelani Day says she's working hard to learn how and why her son was killed. The Illinois State University student was last seen on video August 24th. His body and car were later recovered near the LaSalle County river town of Peru. Carmen Bolden Day tearfully says she misses her son.
My child did everything that I asked him to do. He was a good, he was a phenomenal kid. He was a phenomenal young man.
In late September, the LaSalle County coroner identified the body found in the Illinois River 3 weeks earlier as that of Jelani Day. Police say the circumstances are suspicious but have not called it a homicide. You can hear this full conversation at 21stshow.org. The cost of food keeps going up. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, higher fertilizer prices are also pushing up the cost of growing food.
The 2022 planting season is looking to be an expensive one, says Gary Schnittke, professor of farm management at the University of Illinois.
We estimated for the 2021 crop, it would cost about $150 an acre to put out an acre of corn, and now it's going to be closer to $200. So that's a sizable increase.
That's partly because fertilizer is more expensive now than it's been in about a decade. Those high costs might lead to higher food inflation after the COVID-19 pandemic has already pushed up prices by triggering supply chain disruptions. Schnittke says that's not likely to change anytime soon. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Four more Champaign County residents with COVID-19 have died, a woman in her 90s, two women over 100, and a man in his 50s. The countywide death toll has now passed 200. Public health officials reported 54 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The number of active cases is 437, down from a high of 1,000 this time last month. Still to come, a criminal justice expert from Illinois State University gives his thoughts about the Jelani Day investigation. We'll have that conversation coming up next on 217 Today.
Over the past few years, many of the basic tenets of how and why Americans work have been upended. The usual ladders to security, like education, hard work, lifelong employment, are breaking down. Future of Work, which is a three-part documentary series from PBS, explores the monumental changes in our workplace and the long-term impact new technology might have. Learn how you can stream the entire series as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. An Illinois State University criminal justice sciences expert says the absence of information in the Jelani Day case has not served the public well. The Danville native and ISU grad student went missing in late August and was found floating in the Illinois River an hour north of normal weeks later. Illinois State University professor Ralph Weisheit says he's not surprised rumors have swirled about Day's death and disappearance. He tells Charlie Schlenker part of that is how law enforcement has responded or not responded publicly.
It's really common for people to fill in the blanks in ways that they are most comfortable with. And we don't know from official statements what the cause of death was. But if you're a family member, it is really common to say it couldn't have been suicide. Not possible. I know the person, there's no way they would have done this. And that may be true, but we don't know that. And in the absence of any kind of information or knowledge, and in, with the belief that my son would never do this, our friend would never do this, it's easy for the rumors to start. And silence on the part of the police only makes that worse.
Why have police been silent for so long?
I don't know. I suspect that, for one thing, from the very beginning, it wasn't clear that this was a homicide. It appeared to just be a case of a missing person who may show up at some point. And so there wasn't a lot of urgency in that regard. Secondly, you're talking about, again, a police agency. We're talking in that La Salle, Peru area. This is not one of their people. This is a person from somewhere else. If you're a sheriff, for example, you get votes from local people, not from people in Danville or Bloomington Normal. And so it's not the idea of having press releases and making a lot of statements about it. That may have a low priority if these aren't cases that directly impact the people who you represent.
What do you think the LaSalle County Sheriff's Department should do to tamp down the rumor mill in this case?
Even press releases and media appearances in which they say we don't have anything new to report is better than saying nothing. Maybe they have nothing new to report, and maybe that's part of the reason why they're so quiet. There just isn't much to say, but that's not reassuring to the family, and that's not reassuring to people who are concerned, who are friends and relatives of this individual. And so I think it's just bad PR. Uh-huh. And there's the other issue, by the way, that I think is worth mentioning. I know that part of it is a problem of perceptions generated by fictional television shows, where there's this impression of, oh, if we get DNA, we can turn it over to the authorities and they'll have the results in a matter of hours.
And that has been one of the themes, that there was an unreasonable delay. What is reasonable? What is a reasonable time to wait in these cases for toxicology, histology, DNA, or comparisons of dental records?
Well, there are two kinds of reasonable. One is, what would be the ideal? The ideal would be you'd know in a day or so, or 2 days, or a week at most. The reality is that all this discussion about defunding the police focuses on cops who are on the street. What doesn't get talked about is the years of shortfalls financially in terms of support for things like forensic labs. They're overworked, understaffed, and part of it is they don't have that visible face that a police officer on the street does.
There are figures out there that suggest the average time for finishing up a response from the state crime lab is in the neighborhood of 81 days.
That doesn't surprise me. And again, it's not because they're lazy. It's not because they don't want to do better. They're just overwhelmed. And if local police agencies are overwhelmed, they can make a case to the public for increased funding, and that increased funding often comes. But again, these labs are invisible. We see them on TV in fictional accounts, but the real world version of it is invisible to most people, and they assume that what they see on TV must be the way it works in reality.
That's Ralph Weisheit, professor of criminal justice sciences at Illinois State University. He spoke with Charlie Schlenker about the Jelani Day investigation. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see cloudy skies today with occasional showers and a high of 72 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Reginald Hardwick, Dana Cronin, and Charlie Schlenker. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Molneen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.